2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. We're going backwards. Because that we're going to read a section that is very important. So it has this. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, we've studied all that, right? We spent a long time in all that, but all that is a lead up to these next few verses. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing or the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, that's pretty big. He has called us, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, it's critical to understand that everything in the universe is pointed toward the perfection of the bride. That's the only purpose the universe exists. That universe is called the walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's all of time and space. And it's continuing. And remember, the temple has come down on Pentecost. And all of time and all of space is moving through that temple from west to east. It's the backwards from the sun. Everything that only that which came from the Father can stay in the temple as it goes through. Everything else then goes out the east gate down into the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna or hell. And all of that exists as long as time and as long as time exists, that's what's going on. Everything is perfected. But what isn't complete is the afflictions of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is even now, as we speak, complete and perfect. But the afflictions or the testing of it aren't complete and perfect. You understand that? The only reason time exists, the only reason space exists, is so that that mystery of God can be tested. And it is exclusively, it's never about our works, never about what we're doing. It's a holy calling in itself. It's in and of itself a holy calling, because a holy calling is Jesus Christ. Now, how he is manifested in each one of us can only take place in our abandonment. If we try to use our own strengths to move and define and win and lose and whatever we do, then we are always going to be made an enemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's a biggie. Because he'll give you over to your own imaginations. And what happens then is just goofy. Now, as believers, the time it takes for us to see that we are walking in stupidity is, thankfully, hopefully, with the preaching of the cross, very quick. For the world, the world has to go on. They're still trying to get into the land of Goshen, even though they don't know it. And it's just everything is moving and coming and completing, but there's only one thing going on from our standpoint. And that's this mystery of the body of Christ being perfected. Can you get a sense of this? You know, it's not that, okay, now I'm a new believer, now I'm going to use my talents for God. No, the only talent God wants to use is Christ in you. And it's manifested. It's just exactly like the... Who knew back at this time that DNA exists and that cloning exists? Who knew that in every cell of your body has the capacity to reproduce you? But that's the mystery. That's why it's all Christ. And that how he is manifested in you is to fit perfectly, joined together, knit together in love. Well, that knitting hurts. Everything else is just crap. What, Gary?
It's like this summarizes the whole enchilada. This is what it's all about. And it's, again, always about God, not about you. But that's the test, to get to the point where you're in agreement with God, that it is all about him, and you abandon yourself because you know that.
It's about him made manifest in the Son.
Yeah.
Let's look at the Son a minute and see if we can get this understanding. Go to Colossians 1. And everything we do, how you breathe even, and how you touch things, and how you taste, and how you look at things, and what you hear, all of that is exactly perfect to try to deceive you, to try to get you off and into your own imaginations. Amen? All right. It's talking about the people at Colossians, and he says, "Who in verse 8, who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of this Lord, of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love. It's already happened. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I mean, look and see how many alls are there. It's everything. There's nothing, you know, you can't find your name in here. Let's in the same spirit, let's look at John chapter 1. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything that was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men, or all, through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, or in us, as well. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How can we not see? What?
Think about it, because he's blinded the minds, but he's blinded the minds of them who believe not, but who doesn't really believe, but the flesh. And what's the flesh trying to do? Believe from a Babylonian position, which is, you know, crazy. So there's only one answer, and it goes to the cross again.
Amen.
There's where Revelation.
Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it.
21.
20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their words. And the
works.
Sea... What?
He said words.
Their works, I'm sorry. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that sounds like punishment. Oh, you're bad, you're like you. Little boy, you're bad, and you're going to go to hell, or you're going to be punished. That's not what this is about. It's not about punishment. It's about this mystery of the two environs, time and space and eternity. But you can't get to time and you can't get to eternity without seeing the vanity of time and space. And this is every man and every woman alive has had this divine impulse within them. And they've resisted it over and over and over, just as each of us did for a long, long time. But that divine impulse is the only real thing within you. That divine impulse is Jesus Christ. You are his temple. No, it's gone. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, or land, were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, or in them. and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, in them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's go to Revelation 19. Remember, this is after you've destroyed all the elements of Babylon in your mind, all the cause and effect, everything that is other than grace and mercy in you is destroyed. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat in the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, ye all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The passage we read in 1 Thessalonians is this kind. It's this kind of looking and seeing the summary, the end of all things is at hand. By God, the bride has made herself ready. How has she made herself ready? By emptying. So her only rightness was of his righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response to all this?
It covers a lot, but the phrase that I'm sticking on is not according to our works.
Amen.
And about all our works seem to be good for, and what we read is being judged. I mean, we don't accomplish what we think we will.
It's that we have no investment in the outcome of what we do. And all is equal. all things in time and space are equal from God's standpoint. In time and space, there's all these things. But if we are judged by our works, and my works are only Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's no merit in anything that I've ever done. There's no merit in any words that I've ever spoken, except the words that He wrote and is. It's none of our business what we do, the next, what our so-called office in the body is, or what we do. It's only to see whether or not you leave this mercy seat, you leave the righteousness which is of Christ, and try to have the rightness of your own. And you know, you can hear it in conversations. You hear it not in most conversations, because most people want to be right. That's enough for today. Anything else? Kevin?
I was just saying the purpose of affliction is to emphasize this place of no affliction.
Amen.
This is just, this is why I think there's such duality in existence.
Let's go to one more thing before we quit. Go to Ephesians. There's two prayers in Ephesians that are really monumental. Go to 1 Ephesians 1, chapter 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God... Is everybody there? Chapter 1, verse 18 now. No, what did I say?
You said chapter instead of verse.
Huh?
So chapter 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was chapter 1, verse 15 where we started. So let's start over. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, listen now, what the prayer should be, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what it is the hope of His calling, not yours, and what riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, or in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the name that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. I'll go to chapter 3, verse 14, the second prayer.
I was thinking that's a prayer you can believe in. With no doubt, which means it's already happened.
Amen. Verse 14, chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which cause? It's in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I just wanted to give us an overview of, because we've been lost in the detail of all the meaning of these words. But this is all saying the same thing. Of his power, his calling, his purpose, his inheritance. Amen?
It got me in 12 where it talks about we have confidence by the faith of him.
Amen.
It always takes us out of the picture, and it just makes no problem. It's all
him. But, you know, this is one of the things where the prosperity preachers go wild when they just take this one verse out of context. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so they put that and said, this is what is you're going to get, and it's exceedingly abundantly. I don't know why, but I'm just in awe. I mean, total awe this morning about this. And I pray that, and that's really the meaning of the fear of God. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.